Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal. Great cashback rates and more savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cashback at a variety of brands like Marks & Spencer, Mango, and Selfridges. You can even shop the sales and still get cashback. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 500 brands. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi. How are you, Ronnie?
Good. One of my eyes healing up okay. One of my eyes not healing up okay. What the hell? Am I going to be wonky-eyed for the rest of my life?
What's wrong?
Is it forever? Look, this one's all swollen and purple still, and this one's not.
Well, maybe you got an infection or something. Maybe you should just go to get it checked out. I'm sure it's fine.
I had that done in Texas, so guess what? I'm just praying. I'm going.
Does it hurt though?
No.
Oh, if it doesn't hurt, then you're probably not infected. It's probably just bruising.
Hey, it's like you're my own doctor. That's what I always say to myself. If you're not bleeding, don't go to the hospital. Hell, even if you are bleeding, use a paper towel and some Velcro and close that shit up. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think if it were infected, you would feel something and it'd be like really uncomfortable. But if it's just bruising, it's just, you know, it's the body healing.
Guess what I feel? I feel nothing. Everybody, welcome to the show. Today is Real Housewives of Miami. We're super excited, okay? It was dueling yacht day, Real Housewives of Miami. If you want to watch this on video, you can. Just go over to Crappens On Demand, okay? That's where we do these on video. It's on our Patreon. If you don't want to do that, whatever. You don't have to. We're there for free a week later over on our YouTube channel. Also, our bonus episodes are up on Patreon. And this week's is about our trip to Vegas, seeing Beyonce, seeing Backstreet Boys, getting mad at hotels and airlines, you know, good stuff like that. But today, here we are with the Real Housewives of Miami, season 7, episode 8, Dueling Yachts. Yacht fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen this before on Bravo. Two yachts chartered for one episode. it's kind of amazing, actually. It's funny because, you know, I watched the screener for this week's Orange County right after this. And really going from a show that just is like flush with colors and water, like beautiful turquoise water and palm fronds and two separate yachts, and then going to like Newport Beach. It's an adjustment, I have to say. It really is whiplash going from Miami to Orange County, but it also just is really more of a statement of how luxe this show is. And I just don't know why anyone would sleep on it, because this is the luxury that we want from Bravo.
Yeah. And you know, the beginning of the season, we saw Kiki talking about how she used to date a guy who had a yacht, and that's why she, or what is he, like the head of the yacht club or something?
Yeah, she did mention that. Yes.
So now she's like getting these yachts for her party episode, you know, but I guess the guy, whoever she's dating, I guess he's like, just take two smaller ones. And I actually like that because it led to like fighting over two boats, which I thought was really creative. You know, we've already seen fighting on one boat. And then with this cast, we saw fighting on the pontoon thing in Mexico, which was, you know, classic. So they're like, well, you know what? How are we going to try and top this? Two boats.
Yeah, they really like putting their camera people on restricted boat spaces because there was no room on that boat in Mexico City. And this one, because these boats were smaller yachts, we're used to below deck where those camera people can just travel on any deck without any issue. But here you see them like trying to kind of like squeeze down the side of the boat as they're trying to, you know, follow the cast members with their water guns. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was a good one. So we open at Julian Martinez's home and it's chaos. You know, we just see birds squawking, elephants, giraffes tearing down trees, rhinoceroses, you know, like beating down garage doors. That's what they use as like a garage door opener, just like a rhinoceros. And then kids running around, Martina trying to figure out what a Pop-Tart is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pure chaos. But luckily, they're wealthy. These are wealthy lesbians who can afford a nanny. So the nanny will take over now. And instead, Julia and Martina go and look at the sunset together. And Julia's like,
you know, I have you and we have each other and we have boys and we have girls. We have
nothing
goats.
In between.
Never betwixt shall they meet. So Julia's like,
right now, everything in my life and in Martina's life is about boys. I was told boys are more active, and they definitely are. But year of grazing goat make me prepared.
So, yeah, we see the boys are like in high chairs. They're like flipping over things on the table. It is chaos, as you said. It is pure chaos. There's like powder in the air. Like things are flying everywhere. It's madness.
So then Martina's like, well, speaking of, we have to put them to sleep tonight. Could you choose better terminology?
Oh, yes.
I'm talking about your goats. I can't do all this.
Oh, well, I'm still upset about Gertie and how she behaved yesterday at the event.
Okay, well, that has nothing to do with us putting the boys to bed, but sure, I guess you'll just change the subject.
Probably it's a good thing I didn't go to that, because you know what I would have done? I would have sat there cross-legged and given, you know, roly eye looks. They watch out, ladies. Martina's coming.
And you're about to get Navratilova'd.
I might have put out an extremely problematic tweet.
So Julia's like, oh, it's so petty.
By the way,
I left.
Ronnie. Are you supposed to be using that wand on your healing eye?
I'm trying to heal it with red light.
Ronnie, don't.
Red light is healing. This is how Jesus healed lepers. Red light. Listen, red light wand.
I think don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Well, it's not like oozing. It's just like
if the bruising is not up, it's just like bruising.
You know.
But you're vibrating on it. You're vibrating on your bruise.
Well, isn't that good? Isn't that what healers do? They tap.
I don't know.
They vibrate you and they put heat on you. I mean, I'm the Reiki healer for myself from Vanderpump Rules. Be nicer to Brittany.
I am not a doctor.
Be nicer to Brittany.
I'm not a doctor, but I am someone who watched Dr. Nicole on this episode. And I'm going to say, I don't think you should be fiddling with that eye. Just let it heal on its own.
Well, it's just been red.
Do your forehead.
Let's see by the end of the episode.
You've got much more. You can play around with all the rest of your face, but not that eye. Just let that eye do its thing.
Well, let's wait, because by the end of the episode, look, my eye already looks better. I'm telling you. I just fixed it, you guys. Does it look better? I think it does. Oh, I don't know, because I'm blind in this eye now. So
it's like you've been putting red light into your eyeballs, and then you're like, wow, I can't see the red anymore.
Yeah. You guys, if you think you look bad, you should blind yourself in one eye, and you'll look better.
Staring into a light. I can't see how far away I am from the screen.
I just solved it. Okay, so they're talking about how this whole, you know, Julia's doing her whole victim thing. Like,
oh, I'm so upset about Gertie and how she behaved. It's all so petty. I left, and Adriana wanted me to go hash it out with her.
And Martina's like, there is no hashing out. There is no hashing out. How dare she put up completely benign text that said nothing bad on a screen?
Hashtag no hashing.
So Julia's like,
well, after having time to think about why Adriana didn't follow me, I'm starting to think that there's some sort of resentment towards me. Like, maybe she doesn't like that I stop hanging out with her and hanging out with her mortal enemies. Like, I don't know, she's crazy like that. Because now my friends are Marisol and Alexia, the cool girls. They've accepted me. On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I love that Julie is so confused. She's like, maybe Adriana's resentful. Yeah, maybe she is, because you dropped her like a bag of hot potatoes. A bag of hot potatoes? You dropped her like a...
Yeah, I would drop that. I don't even want to drop a man. Imagine a single potato is bad enough, but a bag of them? And I'm assuming the bag's not insulated, right? Just a mesh bag with all the heat where you just touch all those hot surfaces.
Yeah. But I mean, a bag of hot potatoes isn't bad, because at least you're not like burning your hand. I mean, the point is it's a hot potato. But it's not in a bag. I mean, I could take a hot potato in a bag.
Why'd you put your hot potato in the bag in the first place? That's not...
To deliver it, man. How else are you going to DoorDash? Got to make the mortgage. So anyway, she dropped her like a poopy diaper.
Like a bad habit.
Yeah, Julia. Julia's just shocked. She's treating everybody like shit. And then now, all of a sudden, they don't like her anymore. Hi, I'm your friend Consequences, you dumb, stupid Julia. Even I don't like you, Julia, and I used to love you.
I love Julia, goat. And I'm so... I don't like your goat anymore.
Just kidding.
I don't like your goat.
I still like the goat.
I do, too. I disagree with everything you say. I'm going to copycat you the whole rest of the episode.
You should do it.
Question... is there any coming back from Julia? Because, like, we loved Julia for the longest time, and now she's taking this turn. You know, I know every season people, like, you hate someone one season, you love them the next season. But this season has shown, like, a social climby side of Julia, like, a side that, like, really was not there. And I'm wondering, like, with a good edit next season or, like, walking things back, can we really like Julia again? Or has that ship sailed? I saw her on Watch What Happens Live last night, and she's like, Gertie, I would love to talk to you, and I would love to settle this at the reunion. Please, Gertie, please come back to me, Gertie.
Oh, really? Like, because you've been making snotty little comments all over your Instagram and making little laughy emojis when people are on your side about throwing water on her and everything else. So your apology is bullshit, okay? And it's too late. And did you see the interviews with Gertie that have been going around this week where she's talking about how this boat thing happened even before the last reunion? I mean, it was forever ago. So Julia had no problem. She still stood up for her all reunion, had no problem with it until she needed a storyline to be on Marisol and Alexia's side. Shame. Wow. Shame on you.
Shame on
Gertie
you.
Gertie has been hilarious.
So do you think
Oh my God, this happened a year ago. And that's when then she comes at me at the party. That's why I'm looking like, am I in the Truman Show? Am I in the Truman Show right now? I'm looking around at the cameras like, what? What?
I like this like puppet thing you're doing there. That's very Muppet. Very Muppet coded.
That's how she is.
She is Muppety. Let's be honest.
It's like, what?
But do you think there's coming back for Julia? Do you think like she could have like a good edit next season and we embrace her again? Or do you think she has been forever tarnished?
I mean, you know, look, Julia's like a wackadoo. I think as long as she keeps goats and wackiness in her life, she'll be fine. But the only coming back for me, like if she goes up to her wife and says, stop your bullshit, racist, homophobic, nasty tweeting.
Anti-surrogacy.
Stop acting like a fucking asshole and embarrassing me all over the place and behave yourself. I mean, it would have to start there. Like, it would have to start even beyond the Gertie stuff. As far as the Gertie stuff, I think she can only heal herself if she realizes that who she's fighting for are evil. You know, like, Alexia and Marisol are very funny. I would never say, like, get rid of them. I think they're, you know, an integral part of the show. But they're evil, and you cannot side with evil. So I hope it's like one of the movies where you side with evil and then you realize that you've sided with evil, and then you do the right thing and you defeat evil, you know, something like that. Yeah. But otherwise, no.
I don't think Alexia and Marisol are evil. Because we've seen evil on these shows before, and they're just Alexia and Marisol. What I do think, though, is that they're evil to Adriana, and I think that Julia and they are their own clique, and I think Julia has exposed like some sort of pick me energy with them, and she's abandoned her friend. Now, is her friend unstable and also actually quite terrible in and of herself? Yes, she is. Did she just leave one like flaming pile of garbage for another? Perhaps. But still, I think it was like, I do think that like Adriana and Julia had a real bond, and it's sad to see her leave that. Now, of course, there's also, you could make an argument. Here comes a classic Ben flip-flop slightly. It's not really a flip-flop, but I'm just like adding, like acknowledging a point. So that way I just acknowledge it, which is that like being friends with Adriana is probably really annoying. And like, if Adriana should have also just been like, cool, be friends with him, that's okay. But I think the issue is that Julia also ditched Adriana in the process. I mean, both of them are so territorial, Alexia and Adriana. So, you know, Alexia was probably not down for Julia to hang out unless she ditched Adriana. And Adriana is not going to be happy with Julia unless she ditches Alexia. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But you might as well just stick with the devil you know, right? And what am I even saying? Am I arguing anything at this point? Or am I just talking?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you. But I think part of the Adriana thing is that she's got her own karma from the Leah season. Because Leah brought Adriana onto this show. She got her cast on this show. And then Adriana turned on her to be friends with the popular girls. That, remember, she was making her stab at going against Leah to get the favor of Marisol and Alexia and all of them. So she's already done that. I mean, that was years and years ago, obviously. But this is kind of her karma coming to fruition. So then she gets this other lady on the show, and this other lady does the exact same thing to her. She dumps her literally for no reason just to go to these other ladies and be popular. And it's, you know, the cycle continues. It's a circle of life. It's a circle of housewife life.
It does. And I am in no way supporting Julia and the way she just dropped Adriana and just like fled to the cool girls. But what I am going to say is that there is a part of me that can understand that you've come onto the show and you're stuck at like the shit table with Adriana, like season after season. And it's only because Adriana can't like act like a grown up sometimes. Like, she's like really like an impetuous child all the time. And Julia's kind of like, I'm sick of sitting at the kiddie table. I want to do more fun things. I want to go to more parties. I want to hang out with other people. So I, in some ways, I can actually kind of understand it, but I still think it's really shitty. I think there's a way to like make new friends and keep the old, you know? And I think that Julia has done it in a social climbing way instead of a, hey, I want to have more of this, like a fuller experience on this show.
And isn't it funny how she ended up getting away from petulant Adriana by acting petulant to be in with the other ladies?
Yeah,
like throwing water on somebody, throwing a fit for no reason. She's going petulant to be friends with the other ladies to avoid the petulant person. It's like it's like Miami logic is so it's mind-boggling. Miami it's logic is mind-boggling.
And it's a great reminder of how great this show is. It's so wonderful. There's so much going on. So yeah. Anyway, Julia is still talking. And she's like, I closed my eyes and I thought about it for a second. The party. And I just, when she humiliated me, I just walked back in because I just had one question for Gertie. So one night earlier, she goes up to Gertie and she goes, what was the point of you doing this? And Gertie's like, well, you promised, you said to me, Gertie, what I will do is I'm going to say this.
Get your fingers out of my face like you normally do.
You're not listening. You're not listening. Okay, what
finger,
are you here for?
Finger facer?
No, I have 10 fingers and I will use them and point them in any direction I want to because these fingers, it's my party for my fingers. This is a party for fingers and fingers can point in every direction, up, down, left, right, in directions you don't even know about. Humankind doesn't even understand these directions because they're in different dimensions and I get to use them. So what are you here for? Go home, girl, bye. No class coming here with sneakers on while I humiliate you with text messages.
I don't think you're allowed to yell at lesbians for wearing sneakers. I will say that. I'm on Gertie's side. I'm on Gertie's side for this whole fight, but I think that lesbians have like fought for a long time for the right to wear sneakers places. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I also do love, like, Gertie, who has just gone out of her way to publicly humiliate Julia, to then be like, oh, you have no class wearing sneakers. At least dress formally while I humiliate you publicly.
And Martina's like, oh, well, I have sneakers. I mean, I wore these sneakers. These are real Chanel sneakers. And I wore them to the Royal Box. And they said, you can't come in with sneakers. And I said, these are Chanel and I'm a lesbian. And they said, fine. And so I did. So I was
the Royal Box.
In the Royal Box. Yeah, you're also extremely rich and famous, you dumbass. It's not like you were at the Royal Box for any other reason.
Yeah, exactly. That, by the way, the Royal Box does sound like a lesbian bar. So then we see, of course, Julia and Martina at Lake Wimbledon, sitting behind Princess Kate and Meghan Markle. So then Julia's like, but Gertie is not, whatever issues she could have with me, I apologize for the water. I apologize. And we see the apology and everything. And she goes, I thought we were moving forward. Progress was made. She goes, not so much. It's a serious thing when people have cancer and they survive it, and we're celebrating the fact that they survive, because 20 years ago, it might have been a death sentence, and that's what she does at her event. I mean, you know, perhaps on one point, on one end, you have a point, but on the other hand, it's like, what a way to celebrate being alive than using your platform to publicly humiliate a fellow Real Housewife. Yes, that is living.
I don't like this whole, like, oh, we have cancer, so suddenly we have manners. I mean, I'm sorry. Do they put manners in chemo now? Get the fuck out of here with that. If yeah. I had cancer and I overcame that shit, guess what my response would be? Fuck all of you guys. You tried to take me down. I'm still fucking here. Now you're all going to have to hear it every fucking day of my life. You know, I almost died before I got to tell you to fuck off. How horrible would that have been? I never fucking liked you.
Yeah, that's living.
That's living. That's how to go through cancer recovery, not with fucking manners. Get out of here with your manners talking your sneakers in the Royal Box anyway.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Arabian Nights style home under massive construction. Let's go see Stephanie's extremely tacky house. We knew this was coming.
We knew it was coming. She's trying to untackify it, but I have bad news for you, Stephanie. It's going to require a teardown.
It's in the bones of the house.
It's in the bones. Yeah, it's in the bones. It's all over.
It's one of those Epcot Center, like, look, we're in a different world.
We're in Morocco.
You go around the corner and they're selling like kebabs, and then you go around the other corner and they're selling like crepes, and there's a guy in a beret. No,
I love that. I actually love Epcot Center.
I do too.
Like, you're selling me. I'm like, why don't we do a show at Epcot Center?
We should do that.
I did do the drinking around the world in Epcot Center, and it was a blast. I made a whole video, and it was on YouTube for a while, but it got taken down because I used like 6 seconds of Celine Dion in the video, and it's like, copyright infringement. Celine does not like me drinking around the world, but I mean, I love Celine. I'll do anything she says.
Yeah, I did drinking around the world too. In the world, like a normal alcoholic. Don't have to go to fucking Epcot to do it.
Stephanie shows up and Larsa shows up, and Stephanie's like, welcome to my soon to be humble abode, Larsa. She's like, wow, it's like a full on construction site. Like, yeah, Larsa. That was good.
I mean, seriously. So it's huge. It's one of those, like, with giant doors, you know, and in Texas we have gigantic doors for no reason as well. They're like, you know what we need in this house? A 20-foot tall door. I don't know why, but you know what we should do in a place with heat that we can't keep out of our homes, no matter how hard we try. We should put garage doors as our front doors. Okay. it's one of those. It's one of those. And Stephanie's like, it's like a castle, right? What, right? Like, it's like a castle. She goes, yeah, it is a castle. It is like a castle. Like, it's not like a castle. It's like a castle. Like, wow.
Yeah, and Stephanie's like, yeah, for like a queen. Excuse me, por favor. Can we stop the construction for like 2 minutes, please? You know that she intentionally had that guy there working so that way she could walk in and tell him to stop working.
Yeah.
I just know how to talk to construction men.
It's just the guy with the guitar. She's like, can we stop that sawing in extreme construction? And she's like, okay.
It's Howard Jones.
So she tells us, Masood built this house with his ex-wife. And after he got a divorce, Masood and I moved to a condo. And then Masood wanted this house again after the divorce. And I said, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm not moving some ex-wife's used things. You've got the ex-wife's used ass, wrinkly old balls down to the knees dick. So what's the problem with the house? Please, yeah. You had no problem stealing the man. You should keep the house with pride and be like, I got the old dick and your house too. I would do Instagram videos like, look at me, I'm washing my hair in the sink you put in here, wife that I stole old person from. Suck it.
Listen, I'm going to back Stephanie on this one, not because of any sort of principles of like old versus new, but just because we know the interior was probably like ghastly in this place. So
it's going to be ghastly in the new one too. Stephanie's tasteless. It's all going to be white. I think it's going to be like white, 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 and white, and white, and white. It's going to be that new modern that they do in all the house flips and stuff.
You know what's going to be in there? I guarantee a kitchen island that's black with really aggressive white veining, which is my least favorite. I do not like an aggressive veining on the black marble. Ugh, disgusting.
Or a wiener.
I think she'll do that. Or a wiener.
Yeah. So this is a 22,000 square foot home. The ceiling height is 40 feet high, and she's somehow making it look small. I thought it looked cramped myself. Like, you walk in, there's stairs. Then there's like crampy stairs with like walls. I don't know. It looks very cramped to me.
You know, closed concept is the new open concept. You know what I'm saying?
I told you that was coming back. Walls. I said it years ago. People are going to be sick of this open concept shit. People walk into your house. They see all your dirty dishes. They see every crappy thing your kid ever painted all over the fridge. You know, bring back walls.
There's also no place to hang art. Huh? Yeah. There's no place to hang art. And like I've told you before, I like the way they used to do it in like old England, which is that you're only allowed to go in as far into the home as you are close to the people. So I just love the passive aggression of like letting someone come into only like the second room and be like, yeah, this is where it ends. Like, do we get to see a house tour? No. You know, your access is just, you're foyer plus. Sorry. We'll let you know if you actually graduate to the next level.
Yeah. Den. When we went to Miss Patricia's home in Charleston, when we did a show in Charleston, we got to go to Miss Patricia's home. And Ben called that out immediately because we were sat in the front room by the butler, Michael, RIP, and had some drinks. And she comes down, you know, lounging a little bit late as she should be because she's a lady. And we sat there and then she's like, well, let's go into the next room. And you're like, oh, my God. And so we went to the next room. I was like, what's his deal? So we saw the next room. We sat there for a while. And then she's like, well, let me show you something in the dining room. So we ended up moving to another room. And Ben was good. I was like, why do I have to get up so much, you know? But Ben loved it. And finally, Ben was like, I'm so honored that we made it through your complete house. And she's like, yes, you did, actually. You're like, your bedroom, isn't it that you're supposed to be sequestered in the front until you like me more and then you're brought to the next room? She goes, yeah, that's exactly how it works. You passed. Congratulations. Yeah,
those old timey country homes in like England, for instance, they were like, the layout was like one room leads into the other. It was like a linear layout. You don't just like walk in, you can go to the left to this room, to the right to that room. You just go straight, and like you only got to go as far into the path as you were allowed to, as you were like seen as important. So like if you were really important, like a royal, you got to go all the way to the end. And by the way, if you thought you were going to see a kitchen, you were not, because kitchens were not for showing off. That was where the servants were. So it is fun to see how it, I mean, I still like, I think I'm okay with us, the people gathering in the kitchen. I don't think we need to relegate that to the shadows, but I do like the idea of like, passive aggressively, like, yeah, like really, that's what every house is these days, is a kitchen with ancillary side nooks. But I do like the idea of passive aggressive house tours.
But I live in that. Like, you open my front door and you're in the kitchen. It's like, well, would you rather go to the kitchen or the kitchen? Because that's where we're going to go today.
I know kitchens are crazy. The fact that now kitchens have, like, in terms of, in like the McMansions, kitchens have like two kitchen islands. It's so funny to me. You got the kitchen island that you cook on and the kitchen island that you sort of eat and hang out on. It's so, it's like, it's just, everyone's house is slowly turning into the tent at a British Bake Off, you know.
Yeah, that's like big dick like energy island for a kitchen island. To have double islands. Oh, they're so annoying though. I used to cater, and the first time I ever saw a double island, what a pain in the ass. You do everything at this giant island, then you have to walk around and carry everything to the second island. It's not comfortable. And then you can't talk to anybody anyway. They're so far away on the other island, and you're cooking on the back island. Like, hey guys, how's everything going over there?
Enjoying my kitchen? Yeah, everyone's just making their homes look like Food Network shows, really.
And which are all being like, canceled. It to yourself, Food Network. You did it to yourself.
Too bad. They were such good quality shows. Too bad.
Yeah, they've
which
been
ones got downhill. Canceled?
But guess what else is this recap? Because we're supposed to be recapping a show about a tacky house. This house is going to be
tacky houses.
And also just the gall of this lady walking around, like all the rumors of this, whatever you all have been reading on Reddit. I cannot wait for this stuff to be brought out on the show, like how she got that husband, what she's been doing with that husband, what happened to the ex-wife. I need to know. I want the ex-wife brought on this show, because the rumors are that Stephanie worked for the ex-wife. She was like the assistant. And then she, you know, this is all alleged shit I hear from Reddit. So I don't know what's true. Stephanie's all denied all this on podcasts and stuff like that. But who knows? But the gall, if that is true, for her to be walking into the home of the lady that she supposedly used to work for, and then stole her husband and her job at the company, and can't steal a husband. Okay, we all know that. But still, and then walking through the house and being like, I'll keep her house, but I don't want a piece of her in it. Gut the whole thing. That, whether you like this girl or not, I'm leaning on not. It's huevos. It's huevos that she's got. Yeah.
She says, when I first went into Masood's house, it was not my style. It was so Persian. I'm like, you know who else is Persian? Your husband. Hello.
You know what else is so Persian? Masood's wiener.
I honestly felt like there was a genie that was going to come out of the chimney. So Stephanie starts showing Larsa some more, you know, unfinished rooms at everything. And she's like, this is going to be the master. Love it. And Larsa, wait. When you come into the grand closet, look at this grand closet. Look, it's a little over 1,000 square feet. Okay, check it out. And this wall over here, this is where all the Birkins will be before we inevitably find ourselves in a financial scandal and they get sold off.
This is a mannequin representing the ex-wife. And every day I come in here and dismantle it a little bit more. Take off the thumb. Take off a pinky finger, then we go with the whole hand. Also, I love that she still uses the terminology master, but
yes.
Then she changes the terminology for closet to be grand closet.
Grand closet. The grand closet. I didn't even know there was such a thing as the grand closet.
I've never heard that. She made that shit up. This lady is such an asshole.
Yes, she is.
But I'm enjoying it today. I don't know why. I think I'm enjoying it today because she's trying so hard to get Larsa to care. And Larsa's just like, whatever. Wow, sis is like really big. Wow, that's really cool. She goes, yeah. And this wall goes all the way down and it's going to be all Birkins.
I love that she describes how a wall works. This wall goes all the way down to the next wall. So it's like, yes, we can see the corner. She's like, I want my own
about the Birkins to this degree. You're sad. Okay. You're just supposed to be like, this is where the bags go. Oh,
yes, exactly.
Somewhere to put them where people don't see them. That's just so embarrassing.
She is definitely the peak of new money. But again, I like her on this show because she fits right in and she's like not afraid to speak her mind and stand up to like the ones who've been there for years and years. So she's going on about like, I want my wine cellar. I want my own gym, a spa, a makeup room, staff quarters to have their own entrance so they don't have to use my entrance. Disgusting. Somewhere in Newport Beach, Heather DeBro is like, snaps to that. Yes. I love this girl. America's sweetheart.
Yeah, she wants a lot. I just want ears that don't grow hair, you know? But, you know, we all want different things. So Lars is like, oh, my God, we're like going to, like, be tanning, like, naked, like. And Stephanie tells us how the cost was so high. They could have just bought a new home. But they wanted this house, and she wanted to be fully happy. So had to do what we had to do. So they walk back out to the backyard and pool area. And I love that she's, like, she's stripped the entire outside of whatever it was supposed to be. But it still looks the same. Like,
it looks the same. She moved the pool far away. She's like, I want the pool over there because Masood, I want him at every corner he turns not to be reminded of the past. I'm like, the only one who's talking about the past is you, to be honest. And if you're that concerned that a pool is going to somehow like send him back to whatever state of mind he was in, then you may have some more troubles in your marriage than you're giving on or letting on.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad. But I don't really like her, so I like it. I like watching a slow demise. So she's like, I'm going to have a housewarming party, and anyone who brings bad juju is going to be escorted out. Escorted out. So Lars is like, I mean, like, yeah, like, how crazy, like, was the other night? Like, that was, like, so, like, crazy. Like, there were so many words that were put up on a screen. My ears started bleeding. Words hurt.
It was too much. I mean, I'm very opinionated. I have a lot to get off my chest. And, oh, wait, by the way, can I show you the rest of the house before we talk about this?
No, because, okay, like, what do you got to get off your chest? Like, I feel like you got off, like, your XYZ, like, off your chest, like, with Alexia, like, what else could you, like, have to do, like...
Well, I mean, okay, fine. We can talk about her. Well, she thinks that you keep bringing up Todd, and I know it's a very sensitive subject for her, which is why she brings it up all the time to all of us, because I didn't hear her say that.
And has parties themed for Todd.
Yeah. And then retracts the theme and changes it around. I was saying you're beautiful. You don't have to, like, you know, you have so much to bring. I mean, if God takes out the garbage, make sure the ex-wife is in the garbage bag, too. I mean, you don't go back diving for it, okay? All she's done is try to belittle and put me down. And I have yet to go to one good event with you guys, honestly. I'm like, lady, you're on The Real Housewives. There are no good events. That's part of the formula.
I hope that the ex-wife makes a gif of her saying, you got to take out the garbage. Sometimes God takes out the garbage and just waits for this divorce. Are they even married yet? Are these two married? Or did she just change her last name? Because she changed her last name.
Oh, no, they are married. Right? Yeah, they're married. They're married. Yeah.
They are?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're married.
Okay. So then we see Alexia laying into her saying, like, oh, well, if you want to be neutral and go in there and kiss Gertie's ass, then you do that. She's like, I'm not kissing anyone's ass. And you need to shut the fuck up. You need to fucking shut the fuck up. So then back to present. Lars is like, yeah, you can't let go after Todd. And so she says before Gertie's event, Kiki had planned a yacht excursion for all the girls. But they only booked one yacht and then it all went to shit. So now they've had to book two yachts. So we see a little meeting of Kiki and Lars deciding to get the second boat. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so there's a lot of coordination here. I really enjoyed this process, by the way. So they're putting people in this boat and that boat. And ultimately, Adriana is like a bit of a, she's like a bit of a, like a landmine. No one wants to be on the same boat as her. They try to put Marisol on the same boat as her, but they just sort of know that that's, I think they try it. They're like, that'll be funny. But then they realize, this won't work out. So they call it Marisol and like, Marisol, do you want to be there with Adriana? She's like, no, I don't like it, guys. I do not enjoy being around Adriana. I mean, we're doing an overnight. She might come in my room and murder me in the middle of the night before I've had my cocky. Sorry, it's my signature thing. I don't know if you guys heard about the cocky. You guys heard about cockies before?
She might come in and murder me. I mean, it'll be like the set of Carrie in there. I mean, what are they going to do? Drop blood from the ceiling? What are things going to be flying all over the place in the prom? I mean, is that what we're doing here? It's like Carrie.
which she won't let go of that. She's like, do we get that? Yeah, you're using my Carrie bit, right? You want me to do it again today? I'll do it again today.
I do love her, like, her old-timey pop culture references, which, and I say this as someone who frequently references things from the 80s as if they are current and everyone will get them, but yeah. But she really goes for it. Like, if it's like someone from the 60s, that's like Petula Clark over there. I mean, come on, everyone.
What are you, Donny Osmond on the weekends? Come on.
Oh, Clark Gable just walked in, everyone. I guess we all better bow down.
Yeah, she really Judy Garland that one up. So Stephanie's like, can we just continue with the tour? Like, I mean, come on. We only have another 10,000 square feet to go.
She literally says that, and they don't even bother showing the rest.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Alexia's home, and now we have a scene with, Peter, because Peter has arrived, and he hugs Frankie, etc. And Alexia's like, oh, well, Peter, you know, you like it here? I love that you like coming over here. It's a good house for artists, because, you know, you are an artist. So, like, you like it, Peter? And he's like,
no, we just have this spot here on the beach. It's fun. I'm like, oh, God.
God.
Peter, still.
If I were ever in the same room with Peter, I would just like kind of slowly make my way towards him and just find a reason to stand next to him and then just like poke him with a needle. I would like to see.
has he tried coffee?
See if he even reacts. Like,
has he ever been caffeinated? I mean, is there anything we can do to sort of like speed this guy's talk?
Are there any living cells on this person? What is happening with this person? And he's always kind of been like that, but then every year his hair gets a little bit drier and he just seems to slow down a little bit more.
He needs to start committing to like a buzz cut or something, because obviously we can see the hair is thinning and it's like getting stringier, and like that's fine, but like he's trying to kind of, I think, cover it up by growing it long, but it just sort of is looking like Gerard Depardieu-ish at this point.
It is,
like,
yeah, that's a good way.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like Gerard Depardieu meets Quentin Tarantino. It's like you've got like director hair, but you don't actually have any credits to your name. So like, you know.
Yeah, he's got like intellectual hiding in the library in college, like with dusty books and stuff, like philosophical arguments with everybody. But he doesn't do any of those things, you know?
Yeah, it's like an intellectuals are allowed to have that awful hair because they're intellectual. So they like excel in a different area. But if you're not excelling in like intellectual things, or if you're not like in the arts, you really shouldn't have that hair.
Or just excelling at anything. Like if you excel at nothing, at least groom. That's what I say.
Yeah. Cause like if you're like a professor, it's like, oh, well, he just doesn't have time to do his hair properly because he's busy in academia. He's busy doing things. Or if he's an accountant, it's tax season. But like he's just doing nothing. Like there's just no, you're in Miami. Like this is the city of knowing what to do with your hair.
Yeah, you got to groom. So, and I'm speaking as someone in like a 3-day old t-shirt and a very swollen eye that I'm red lighting.
But we're doing something. We're podcasting, which is very, very important.
It's very important to the world. Yeah.
Rigorous and important.
So Peter's like, yeah, you just got to keep yourself emotionally stable, Mom. And the producer's like, so you guys seem to be avoiding talking about Todd. She goes, oh, yeah, we do. We do, you know, because I don't like to involve my kids. You know, I just like to move them in with people. And then take them away so they can move out in front of Frankie. In front of Frankie. But yeah, I don't like to involve people with Todd. You know, that stuff I keep very, very private.
you guys, I can't believe this is happening right now. While we're playing pool.
By the way, it's not that they aren't talking about Todd. It's just that Peter still is in the first three words of a sentence and he hasn't gotten to the rest of the sentence yet where he talks about Todd. So, Mom, I just want... It's like, okay, all right, I'll take it from here. Okay, so, Peter, what's going on? Like, you want to go hug Frankie? So they hug. It's really cute. I mean, when Frankie and Peter are very cute together and they hug, and Alexia's like, Frankie has been vomiting profusely and ended up in the emergency room and they diagnosed him with diverticulitis, or as I call it, looking at Adriana disease.
Or as I told the doctor, this is what I call the disease to the doctor. How could you do this to Frankie? Oh, get him a better disease. I don't even know what this is. Get him a better disease.
So this sucks. I mean, poor Frankie, like, he doesn't go through enough that now he has to deal with diverticulitis, which is no joke, by the way. My friend just had really bad case of, I don't even know, it was diverticulitis, but it was called, like, pronounced diverticulitis. I mean, I don't know. It was something, like, heightened, and it sucked. She had to get, like, a colostomy bag, and she had to be in, I mean, she was out of commission for, like, 6 months.
Is it curable, or is it?
Yeah, she's better now. Yeah, she's better now. She healed up. Thank God.
Oh, good.
One of the lesbians in the tennis shoes. I mean, they just keep coming up today.
Well, listen. If you're stuck with a colonoscopy bag, I think you're allowed to have some sneakers on, for crying out loud.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one will question her sneakers because she's like a true, like, no one's gonna fuck with her.
Yeah.
She's gonna wear her damn tennis shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Alexia says that he has to have a better diet and everything, which is, you know, like, he does look a little thinner, actually. So it looks like he's been eating healthier. And I don't know why I felt like commenting on that. Like, just your report card is in. Ben Mandelker approves.
Where do I get diverticulitis? God, you look great. You look amazing. Is this over the counter? Can we make out for a bit? How long should this last? Let me just. So they talk about, Peter starts crying, you know, because they're talking about how hard all this stuff is on Frankie. And then they're talking about, you know, I don't know, this family. You know how this family is. They talk about kind of the same traumas every year and then cry about it as a family, which I guess is fair. So she's like, you know, but the truth is, Peter, you've really had it hard. I can't. I can't with the, oh my God, how hard Peter has it. Peter doesn't do anything. Let's stop this. Can we stop?
I know, really.
Your son have it so hard. Videotaped a homeless person as he was like trying to make him do bum fights or whatever the fuck he was doing and abusing him. Like, I can't with, and I get that he was a kid and this and that, but please stop with the every single year trying to make Peter look like he's some little saint. Cut his hair. The least you could do is cut his hair, Alexia.
He is, you can't say that he's, I guess he has had it hard with that hair. And I'm not going to lie.
Do you know how hard it is having such dry hair? His hair hurts.
Oh, well, he tried to buy some VO5, but he asked for VO6 and don't even make that. And he gave up. It was so hard for him. So, you know, it's so hard, you know, because your brother gets into the accident and then you go to Paris. Oh, God, could you imagine what a hard life that is, going to Paris? Then you come back and Hernan dies. Oh, and it's just like, it's a lot. And like, we're good, but I don't want you to worry. And she says, you know, she does. I mean, I'm not going to take away that, like, obviously Frankie was, I mean, when Peter was very affected by Frankie's accident, etc. But like you said, Alexia brings this up to us every single year as if we never heard it before. I'm like, okay. Like, I mean,
well, it's just sad. Alexia's like boy mom, you know, Peter does all this bad shit every year. And then Alexia's like, oh my God, you guys, Peter has it so hard. Like, nobody has it harder than Peter. Raise your child to be better because your child sucks. Okay. Like, I don't want to hear it. And stop coming on here like you're trying to make Peter mayor every year. I don't want to hear it. Peter sucks. Keep him away.
Well, the big wrinkle this time around for the usual, like, oh, Peter's had it so hard storyline is that now he is going to be Frankie's guardian. So, like, meaning, like, you know, if Alexia is to predecease her son, then Frankie will take over, which is a big deal. Peter will take over. Actually, I would not be surprised if Frankie takes over as a guardian for Peter. I think Frankie will be a more suitable guardian for Peter than the other way around.
I do too. That's kind of a terrifying thought. So then Gertie, let's see, what are we doing? So Gertie goes to have lunch with Dr. Nicole.
Dr. Nicole's back. It's like, we get this whole long shot of Nicole from behind. Her hair is blonde and long and flowing. And she's like, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And she shows up looking great and radiant because she's a radiologist. Oh, no, she's actually an anesthesiologist. No,
she's an anesthesiologist.
Well, guess what? She's a radiologist today because she is radiating. And
she's a radiatingologist.
She sells radiators. Because guess what? She's radiating.
She sold about 96,000 of them because she's wearing an Hermes matte alligator Birkin for $96,600. And she's got matching baby blue
Jimmy Choo's or whatever. And they're like, wow, Nicole is worth $27 trillion, everybody. And we ooh and
so
and why does Nicole get away with doing this shit when it's so annoying from Stephanie? Although this always did kind of annoy me about Nicole. But remember Nicole's whole like, oh, yeah, look, here we are buying like a, you know, $70 trillion ship or whatever. Anthony liked to brag about their money, too, but I don't know how she did it and because, what didn't annoy people as much as Stephanie. She's got the personality to pull it off, right?
Because Stephanie watches like a house get like torn open and like rooted around. But Nicole has to watch human bodies go through that. And I think she deserves, you know, like I think she deserves a $96,000 bag because she's first of all, she's helping people's lives actively, unlike really 99.9% of anyone else on Bravo. She's actively trying to save people's lives. And she's also pretty cool. And Stephanie is obnoxious and Nicole is fine. Nicole seems to be overall pretty good given, you know, a base level of obnoxiousness that everyone on Bravo has, you know?
Yeah, I think because she shows it off, but she doesn't like openly brag like Stephanie, but I don't know. So she comes in and the girls are like, oh my God, it's you. It's like baby G. The last time I saw her was in the, you know, she was still in her preemie because they're talking about the little baby. And we see a picture of the little cute baby. And Nicole's like, yeah, she was like 4 pounds, like pure bones. But now she's like 90th percentile weight. Like she's a little pudgy sickle. Doesn't she look like my dad? Is that supposed to be a compliment? Don't put that on that baby. And then they show a picture of her next to fucking, not Columbo. Who's the other one?
Ed Asner.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see a picture of her dearly departed father. I personally did not see the resemblance, but also to be fair, her dad looked like literally every baby I've ever seen. Like he just was like a big, I'm not saying he was a man baby. I'm just like, if you imagined a baby who is 75 years old, that's what her dad looked like.
And just
like,
really so hairy, carrying a cigar. I'm cheating R.I.P. on everybody.
R.I.P. that guy. So
what a Nicole's, character that guy was, yeah.
He really was. He was. And so Nicole's saying how it was like a nightmare because like the pregnancy because, or I should say the birth because like there was the NICU and then she was in the hospital. She had to go in and out. She had to miss all these things, but she was also ignoring Grayson. So she had to spend time with Grayson and Gertie's like, it was a shit show. Okay, can we talk about my thing now? Okay, great. So Gertie's like, well, I know that that you're still going through postpartum and it's emotional roller coaster, so I just want to support her and let her take it easy. And it's all about her right now, about her getting back to who she is, because I'm trying to get her to get her groove back. That's what I'm trying to do. So naturally, they now start talking about Stephanie.
Now, this is a big surprise for the episode because the rumors before the episode, before the season started, were Nicole was going to come back to the show, but then she left the show because they brought on her ex's new wife or whatever, which is Stephanie. And that she was like, that's low or whatever. Fuck this. But it turns out she really likes Stephanie and she's nice to her. So yeah. Who knew? Who saw that one coming? It's like the twist. She's like, I'm really excited to meet Stephanie. She's like, oh, the fact that she dated Anthony 20 years ago. I mean, isn't that crazy? And she goes, oh my God, like the world is this big. It's this big. She goes, yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about her. She goes, listen, like there's got to be similarities. Like he likes us both. Let me tell you, Anthony's picky as fuck. Okay. He likes short people who like really expensive purses and planes.
Yeah, pretty much. So they call Stephanie and Gertie's like, yo. I want to do a quick hi and bye intro to this girl here. You may know her because she's now with your ex. And Stephanie's like, oh my God, you know, I was blonde too at one point. And then I was like, this is so damaging. Like, I am not going to be blonde. Like, only an idiot would be blonde. Oh my God, Nicole, nice to meet you.
Nicole's like, yeah, I was going to go red too. But like, it's so much work to keep it red and also like go places where people don't treat you like a little orphan in a musical. So, but it works for you.
She's like, oh my God, if I know I will die if you go red, because then we'll be just like twins. She's like, okay, well, in that case, I'm definitely never going to be red the rest of my life. Okay, I'll stay blonde. Okay, bye.
Is Stephanie a redhead? Why does Stephanie look like a brunette to me? Are my eyes that bad? Is my eye that swollen?
She looks like a brunette to me. There's someone pounding on our door.
No, tell him to fuck off. Peter, get a job.
Pounding.
Get a job, Peter.
I know it is, Peter. Be like, hi, I'm lost. I think Stephanie is a brunette, but like I can see that maybe in certain light, you can see like the redness of it all, you know?
Mm, okay.
Like they're, so like, they're then, maybe like low level red, like maroon.
Stephanie's like, Nicole's fabulous. Like, clearly we have to have similar traits because I dated Anthony 20 years ago and you could tell he was going to go far in life. I mean, no one's comparing private jets around here. I'm just saying mine is big. Bigger. Walla Perkins. Can we finish my tour now? Come on. Follow me.
So they hang up and Nicole's like, you know, it's funny because when I saw her hang out with the group, my initial thought was like, I don't think she's going to get along with Alexia because, you know, there's that alpha competition. And like, if you don't bend the knee, like she doesn't do well. And Stephanie doesn't strike me as a knee bender, mainly because she only comes up to someone's kneecap. So if you bend, she really can't. There's not really a knee there to bend.
Oh, no. And at the party that you were supposed to go to, I put that text message up. I put it up. There was a screen. I put it up. It was there. It was there. I redacted the names, though. I redacted them.
So then we see a clip of that. And then Gertie is like, yep. And Julia got embarrassed. And so they walked out. And Stephanie wanted to go back in and hear what I had to say, what happened. And they were like, oh, no, you're such a kiss ass. Can you believe it? That's what they said. Even though it was redacted. It was redacted.
So yeah, we see like flashbacks and everything, and we see like, you know, Alexia confronting Stephanie, etc., and like, you know, being like, you want to go in there, kiss Cody's ass, then you do that, etc. So Nicole's like, these are like bling alliances, right? Like, I don't understand that, because if I'm someone's friend, I will hear your story and be like, you know what, Gertie, that was wrong, and you know what, like, maybe you shouldn't have said that, and like, I told you, like, after that comment about the facelift, remember I told you the facelift comment was too far, Gertie?
And then we see the flashback to after getting water thrown on her, she tells Julia, you got a facelift while Martina was in New York getting chemo. That's you, facelift getter. I didn't think that was so bad. Julia started it. I'm sorry.
Julia started it, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, I told you that was tough, girl. Like, I don't know if I would have gone there, but that's what friends do. You know, we're honest with each other. And she's like, Well, you know what? Blinders. You know what? You put on the blinders when you want to. And she says she's not proud of how she acted, but, and would I have done this as first choice? No, I would not have. But the fact is I tried every other way with everyone. And the only way left was to put text messages on a screen. That was literally the only way left.
It was the only way left for her.
When in doubt, rent a projector. That's it.
There was nothing else to do. That's all I could do. Nicole's like, well, I just don't understand what happened. I mean, we were all really good friends. Remember the day after your surgery, we picked up smoothies and Julie and I went to visit you. We sat in your bed and we see that, you know, from last year. And she's like, I just feel like there's been a big shift in Julia because I never even seen Julia hanging out with Adrian anymore.
Well, we saw those two over the summer and you were like, what's going on there? You know, because like she's been really into Marisol and Alexia, and that's fine. But that's, you know, that's to the detriment of ruining. And she's like, well, it's giving thirsty, right? She goes, yeah, you know, middle school, like the new girl who comes in and then she doesn't have any friends. So she hangs out with whoever's there. But then like she figures out who the popular girls are and then she ditches those people. I just think it's so funny that Marisol and Alexia are considered the popular people. Like, they're right. Literally outnumbered.
It's just because Alexia keeps on. It's because Alexia just keeps on declaring herself as the popular girl. She literally said, I'm the star. She said, I was born a star. I am the star. And then Marisol is just like a tag along because they keep the dangling carrot for Marisol of a friend of. So she's still waiting for her true glory to return. So until she can be a full fledged cast member, she is. And she just has to hang on to Alexia. So, yeah, I think that's how this whole cult of personality happened.
So what would it take you to come back to our group?
And she's like, TBD.
Bitch. I can't believe you just did that. Okay. You know what? I didn't like that answer. So I have had all of our texts printed on these menus. Everybody's reading them right now.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says, part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.